So what is up, everybody? Welcome to this week's Rhythm Incursions, which this week is the kind of monthly, I guess, but largely irregular, I would say, is probably more accurate, show with myself and Wrong Tom. Tom, how are you doing?
Not bad, mate, not bad.
Good, good. Actually, check this, right? I thought I'd bring this in as a little surprise, just as a thing to keep us on our toes here, because we switched the music last week, so I thought it was only right that we did it again this week. I was thinking, actually, the fact that it's the Sorry theme tune kind of sums the whole thing up quite well, doesn't
Completely.
It?
Completely.
It's just one big apology for what everyone's about to hear.
Did I recommend this one to you last time?
Yeah. But check the guitar bit. It's all about the guitar. One note. Ready?
Sounds like Henry's cat.
Yeah.
Or Britney Spears, maybe.
So there you go. Anyway, theme tune from Sorry for anyone who's wondering what in God's name is going on. So coming up then, we're going to be doing the usual format. We're taking two old tracks and two new ones each, passing a bit of comment, bit of chatter around them. And what we're going to do this week, should we start with one from you?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Cool.
Yeah, man. Hang on. I'll just ready me CD-age. So are we on track one on the CD?
Cause as should ever, be.
I think we've done all we're playing.
It almost definitely is the first track at the start.
Okay, then. So what are we looking at?
I'm possibly going to shock Resonance listeners now by opening with a latest hot joint from Hardfire.
Careful now.
Easy. It's actually it's a remix that I've done, so I'm rather shamelessly plugging myself here. But it's rarely that I actually work on something and I sit down and listen to it and play it out a lot myself.
Right.
But I was really happy with this one.
And then what happened?
Then I got told that they wanted the edit of the second half of the track only.
It's got to hurt, isn't it? You finish something and think, it's done. I have completed something I'm massively proud of. And then an A&R man somewhere comes back and says, it's brilliant. We're going to use the closing 2.5 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, it's... In some ways I was gutted, but in other ways I wasn't, because I really liked the second half.
Right.
And the second half contains almost nothing of the band. And when I did it, I just thought, I didn't really like it because of that. But when I did it, I actually thought that they'd say, well, you know, we don't really want that bit because it's got nothing to do with the track.
Yeah.
And instead I get a message back saying, this, we want this half. Which
it must be short, because I'm looking at the track and it's what, 3:42.
Yeah, but there's probably about 20 seconds of echo on there. No, me, I can't remember. But I went back and re-edited the second half of the track and stretched it out a little bit.
All right. Well, so, yeah. I mean, I'm sure this is going to scare the Resonance listeners, but that's kind of, see, this is the irony of Resonance. It's, you know, playing things like this is going to outrage listeners to some extent.
I mean, hopefully.
And to another extent, you think, well, that's the point of Resonance. You've got to be a little bit, you know, take a chance.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a particularly outrageous track in terms of what you play on Rhythm Incursions.
No.
You know, it's got a strong nod towards old George Amoroda and kind of early dub disco in house.
Right, let's check it out. So this is your remix of the Suburban Nights track,
that's
right?
The one, yeah.
Okay, here we go.
DJ Rob Tom. Night long. We'll be right back.
Absolutely, absolutely, and totally. So yeah, so that's like the, is that the standard version? Because I'm sure I've got like a really really long version.
Yeah, there's actually at the moment, if you're listening right now, even you can go onto my DJ Wrong Tom MySpace page and my Wrong Tom Music MySpace page.
Oh God!
As you know, amongst my millions of MySpace pages, yeah. I have and download a free copy of the full edit. That uses a lot more of the original track, like the original synthesizer.
Right.
Because there's this kind of... The original idea that I had was Richard done this sort of... Like almost sort of Giorgio Moroder style, like 101 synth line live. And then written a very... Like just unashamedly Clash song around it.
Mm.
And I was just like, that's wicked if I could just slow it down a little bit and turn it into that sort of Love to Love You meets Last Night a DJ Saved My Life in deep kind of track.
Yeah.
And so I did, and they preferred the Love to Love You end of things where I came in with my crappy old bass that I've mentioned a few times.
The Marlin.
Yeah, my crappy old Marlin.
Yeah, yeah.
And knocked out that bass line quickly, which on the Hardfi forum apparently someone's identified it as from a section of a breakdown from a Culture Club track.
Really?
Yeah. which I actually still can't hear. I don't know if I'm just reluctant to admit that I can hear it in the track. Or
are they saying you sampled it?
Well,
or?
Yeah, or I ripped it off. But honestly, I just sat there and played it and just went, hey, that sounds about right.
You do that all day, though, can't you? Yeah. Pointing a finger and saying, oh, it sounds like... I mean, you know, it's the whole thing of did you consciously do that or not? And if you didn't, well, you know.
I definitely didn't subconsciously do it because I think it was actually from Do You Really Want to Hurt Me? Which I'd never...
Oh, mama.
I hadn't listened to in a hell of a long time.
Yeah. That's a strange... I'm trying to sort of mentally patch the two things together, but kind of can't.
You can't.
Straight off the top of my head.
You can't. I heard it, and I was just like, well, maybe a little bit by a stretch of the imagination, but no, definitely I was a lot more to the flip of Last Night a DJ Saved My Life.
Mm.
Hence the name DJ Wrong Tom's Delight, you know.
Yeah, real, yeah.
Incredibly imaginative, I know, but
if I were you, I'd just be flattered that someone's bothered to analyse it to pass comment.
Yeah, definitely, I mean,
most people are out there going, "Please take notice."
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of my music's gone by that way as well. Just like, well, did you make that? You know, I only spent 2 weeks in the studio, but
yeah, thanks.
Nobody cares.
I care, mate. Yeah. No, I really like it. I've got to say, and I'm not just saying that because you sat here. I'm trying to blow smoke up your bunghole, but you know, I do. I mean, but we were saying this last time you were on, weren't we? It was kind of like there's a definite similarity between the remixes both of us have done lately with that whole slow mo disco.
Yeah, which is why I was disappointed you didn't play the Robots in Disguise remix, but.
I might play it. I have got it here, but I must admit I didn't consciously plan to play it. But let's see how we go. I might sling out something else in favour. I do have another track actually, which I mentioned to you, which I'll be playing a bit later, which is Stone Cold Disco. So yeah, maybe we'll have
well
to
up for that.
Yeah, we'll rejig things a bit.
I've been feeling particularly Stone Cold Disco a lot recently. So
yeah, I know what you mean. I'm sort of well, it's just I think. You know, if you're anything like me, I tend to work in kind of tangents anyway.
Yeah.
So I'll be really into disco, and then the next week I'll be like, no.
I think I am.
So, right, come on, let's move on then.
Quick shameless plug. That's actually out this week. I'm just straight up, no holes barred. Go out and buy it. It's $1.99 on 7-inch, and it came out on Monday. And, you know, as long as you don't hate Hi-Fi, let's get them in the top 10. In fact, I think midweeks it's in at number 4 or 5 or something like that, maybe. So
really, that's good going.
Yeah, got to number 12 just on the downloads last week.
Damn,
yeah, which is pretty good going. Yeah. You know, and they're nice guys. Rich needs another Porsche.
So I'm anyway, the listeners of Resonance are going to be properly sympathetic.
I've just
to that
ruined
vibe.
That one, haven't I?
Yeah, that one's sunk.
I wouldn't mind a Porsche.
Piles of these being stacked up and burned as we speak. So, okay, right, let's move on. Then we got.
What have you got?
This is a new one a new one I've brought in, it's a remix of a Frank and Dank track by this guy Paul White, and apparently it's on Dopeness Galore Records, all of which I'm slightly oblivious to because I was sent this on a slightly random level by this guy Alex at Vital Distribution, who bounced it over as something I think he's personally involved with rather than stuff he throws my way because he's paid to.
Sure.
So he sort of sent it something I'd be interested in, and I don't know whether it's a comment on the state of things today, but I kind of preferred this to a lot of the other things that I've been sent by you know, PR people and things like that. So I love this. It's just kind of just quite refreshing, just, you know, but check it out. I mean, there's not much to say about it because that's literally all the info I've got, apart from the fact it's taken from a new 12 inch that features remixes from Morgan Spacek and Daz IQ. And that's it. But apparently Alex is releasing Paul's debut single later this year. So if you like this, then maybe he's a guy to keep an ear out for. But anyways, less chatter. So check this out. So all I know about this is I think the track is called RRR by Frank and Dank, and it's remixed by Paul White. But that's literally all I've got. So check it out.
I'ma start right, get it going like a post to. Give it to you raw, I'm the nigga that you chose to. Expose you to the crew, F and D. I'm the one that Marvin asked Frank and E. And just so you know, it's Tune C's and a DJ. Detroit City showing y'all how we play. We get it cracking when we doing the do. And your doctor can explain what we doing to you. And we do the damn thing, get a DJ son. You can get some spend time with him one on one. And we get it cracking like I said we would. I'ma pass it to the DJ and y'all stay hood. Holla, holla. I'ma spin these bars most casually. Rough running it wrong way. I'ma spin these bars most casually. Rough running it wrong way. I'ma spin these bars most casually. Rough running it wrong way. I'ma spin these bars most casually. Frank Diddy up in here, what's the deal, bruh? Let me put you up on game, you might feel, bruh. We do it rough like we doing it for TV. Don't worry, one DJ and two MCs. Came here to give you rougher than raw shits. DJ cut it up, MC come with the raw spits. Yeah, that's the shit, Detroit City, we do it. So no need to wait, y'all just get into it. You can do it, we'll hold you down. It's Detroit City, how we gets down. I said Frank to the day, making worldwide moves. Forget Parker Lewis, Frank and Dank can't lose, motherfuckers. We'll be right back.
most casually. The rough brother than wrong way. I'ma spit these bars most casually. The rough brother than wrong way. I'ma spit these bars most casually. The rough brother than wrong way. I'ma spit these bars most casually. The rough brother than wrong way. I'ma spit these bars most casually.
So there you go. That was Paul White remixing Frank and Dank, Rough, Rugged and Raw. Not RRR. I think that was just how it's badly abbreviated when it was sent to me. Good old me, switched on as ever. But yeah, I don't know. It's one of those where you play it and you think that's just a really good track. You know, good remix.
I'll tell you what, Paul, if you're listening, you've done a bloody good job, all right?
Yep, there you go.
I loved it. Absolutely loved it. I thought it was on, you know, that kind of Earl Blaze tip.
So, I mean, I was just curious because now, you know, it's always nice when you get this thing. You're like, you know, check out this remix. We've got a single coming out. And now I'm thinking, I'd like to hear the single, you know. Keep an eye on that guy. So, yeah, Paul White, I know nothing about him. Literally, it was kind of sent on a fairly throwaway level by Alex. But it's a fantastic track. Definitely.
So, is there a single with the original Frank and Dank track and then his remix? Or has he got a single coming out? Or
No, well... Yeah, I really don't know. I mean, basically, he's just said he's attached the remix on Dopeness Galore Records, so I'm assuming that's already out. And I think he's then signed Paul and is releasing one of his own original works or something, I guess, you know, later in the year. So I would think, knowing our record release times work and knowing that, you know, Alex is at Vital, so he's well on the ball as far as schedules go, I would think it would be out in September. Because by October, November, you're kind of in that pre-Christmas music vortex where there's a billion... big releases and no one's putting any indie music out.
And that's not going to be a Christmas number one.
No.
Let's be honest now.
I always aspire to having a Christmas number one. I got to number five in the... I was at number five in the charts at Christmas one year when I did that last catch-up thing.
I was going to say.
Which is the singular thing I like about it still. Apart from the fact that everyone laughs at me and it's like, well, it took me 3 hours and paid the rent and for Christmas for me and Tootle. But that aside, yeah, no cred whatsoever. But, you know... We got money from it and we were, you know, top five at Crimbo.
Lots of crud.
Yeah. Oh, crud for days, mate, I tell you. So crud much crud, years. It'd take you a week to walk out of it.
I had to put up with that record.
I had people ringing me up going, yeah, thanks. You know, I've got my cousin or my son or whatever boogieing around.
I'm surprised they weren't death threats.
Oh,
wow. No, like, fair play. I was going to say, you know, that was all right, mate. It wasn't.
No, it wasn't. It was absolute toot. But what I'm proud of is the fact that I was half drunk when we made it. I was just stood there going, add more bells, and just adding more and more dross to this thing.
Wicked.
Thinking quite comfortably that only people in Japan would hear it, which is the whole premise of it initially. We were like, well, we're not doing that. And they said, all right, it's only for release in Japan. Then they heard it and they were like, yeah, we're going to put it out.
It is somewhat of a dream job. I'd love to do that.
It was just how crappy can you make this mix? And the answer was incredibly. But then it was a rubbish song to start.
Yeah, I mean, the thing was, it was still better than, say, Bomb Ballerina.
Yeah. Which was William Orbit, wasn't it?
Did he do that?
It was someone that did start something like that. I'm sure it was one of those, yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked.
Actually, no, William Orbit did the Loads of Money song, didn't he?
Did he?
And Bomb Ballerina was some...
Timmy Mallett was...
Yeah, but it was...
the artist, wasn't he?
But it was definitely...
Why are we talking about this?
No, I don't know. Okay, yeah. Well, that's what happens when you run out of stuff to say about Paul White. But anyway, yeah. Okay.
I had a bit of a dream leading up to this year about having a Christmas number one, which will obviously just remain a dream.
A friend of mine,
I haven't made
actually,
something to become number one, and it's now August.
A friend of mine did do a song with an aspiration to be a Christmas number one. It was called Space Zombie Christmas, and he never got it put out. So I think I may start playing that in the run up to Christmas. No, and it's horribly twee, but right, you know, fully intentionally done.
Yeah,
I think we'll force resonance to play it on permanent rotation or something. So what we got now? We got one from you. Oh, and a sneeze from me. Hang on, I'll turn my mic down. Sorry, keep talking.
Anyone get that?
Actually,
could we switch the format a little bit? I wouldn't mind playing two in a row.
Go on, yeah,
they're
kind
of tying together, right? The first one, I'm going for an old one now, is Seven that I picked up the other day by King Curtis and the Kingpins.
Ooh,
called Sweet Inspiration.
Right, okay.
If you're familiar with your Atco, you probably know it. It's a nice little loping sort of jazz funk number, horn led.
Obviously.
Very tasty. There's a bit of spotted guitar in there that I'm sure you're going to like. And I'm not just talking to you, Mr. Trick.
All right, come on, let's check this out then. A bit of King Curtis. We were not deep in conversation there and slightly oblivious to the track ending, were we?
Goes to show we really love what we're listening to.
Yeah, but it's such a Sunday morning track. It's kind of conducive to conversation over
it. Oh, yeah, completely. Maybe
the only thing I'm missing is a cup of tea.
That's a good, I'm always missing a cup of tea. Even when I've got one, I'm thinking about the next. I've got a problem. And my problem right now is I haven't got one.
Yeah, exactly.
Sweet inspiration, King Curtis and the Kingpins.
Mm. Loved it. But I love King Curtis anyway.
Yeah,
you know,
I knew you would.
Yeah, so big fan of that. Yeah.
I'd like to link that in with the next one, simply because of the drums.
Right.
And I'm going to leave it at that. Let's just play this next record and then we'll have a chat about it. There's a breakdown in the middle. And if you hear about 10, 20 seconds of silence, can't remember how long it is, don't worry, we're still on air.
All righty. Come on then, let's have a bit of this.
Thank you.
was ace.
It's really nice, isn't it?
Yeah, just you know, can't help but nod your head.
Yeah,
it's that kind of a track. It's just yeah.
That was a track called Yeah by the Telescopes, if you're interested at all.
So you were saying they were what, a kind of shoegazy British indie band?
Yeah, I mean, I think in the late 80s there was a touch more metal. They're very, very much an electric band.
Mm.
And then they did one album called Taste, I think it was, and then a second album that was Live, which right. is the worst recorded live album by a signed band I've ever heard. And
I'm just, my mind's already off now trying to think of other albums that could possibly take that title. But
yeah, I mean, well, I'm sure there are worse, but for a band that has a very coherent first album, the live album was just diabolical and somehow quite good at the same time. But that's how we roll. But when they got signed to Creation for their second album,
right,
and they came back with this far more jangly, kind of slightly baggy, as you can hear with the beat, particularly, which was what tied it in with the King Curtis track for me. That it is almost the same beat.
I just want the tracks, man. You could do such a great remix of that track. If you know, just the rhythm section alone would be the foundation for one killer.
Yeah, I mean, there's some amazing rhythm stuff on the whole album, and it is funny that he pretty much does play that beat at varying tempos. And
so much indie, wasn't it? That one beat,
white funk,
whatever way you're going. Yeah.
Something about it, he just does it so well, and it was amazing when I was listening to Sweet Inspiration. I was suddenly thinking of the Telescopes track, just thinking, you know, it's not far off the same drummer, it's the same pattern.
So I had to
slip them in together because they're two great little tracks.
All right, well, I'm going to pick up a similar vibe with my old track. I've got a feeling the new and old thing is going to go out the window anyway, because I'm probably going to just play Robots in Disguise and trash where I was going with all that. But this track I'm going to play is this guy called Sun Seals. Now, I found this through a compilation, so that's me already discredited to some extent. But it's on Alligator Records, who I kind of have been slowly wading through the content of their releases, because they were a Chicago kind of blues label.
Pun not intended.
Yeah. And so I kind of, I got this and bought it because it's a retrospective of their 35 years of releasing all this stuff. I have to say as well, Alligator Records, I hold them in high esteem for having some of the best album covers. They're all just like photos of the artist, but there's something about them. They're just so stylishly done. You know, when you look at a 70s album and it's just quintessentially...
Yeah, spot on.
Yeah, and it's like that. They just ooze kind of mojo on every album, and even the ones that they're still going now, and their albums kind of haven't really changed stylistically since the 70s, in all senses, in truth. You know, they're very traditional.
Sorry, I actually unfortunately watched Austin Powers 2 the other day, and I can't hear the word mojo without, you know, putting my little finger to my mouth.
Yeah, no, I know. It's a shame really as well, because mojo, I think particularly, like, if like me you're a total guitar nut, mojo is that kind of X factor that you apply to a guitar.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it on paper should be rubbish, but when you play it, it's a beaut. And the mojo is about the only thing you can kind of say.
It makes perfect sense, but unfortunately they sullied it with that film. And,
It's been ruined. So we'll steer clear of that.
Similarly, I can't shop for rare and expensive magazines in Magma anymore.
Yeah, well, okay. All right, well, skipping the word mojo. But anyway, most of the comp is like blues stuff, so it's all quite, you know, bluesy and in a traditional sense. But I heard this track, and it was like the opening kind of eight bars. The fact that no one sampled it is something of a mystery. I mean, maybe someone has. I mean, obviously, I don't claim to know every track and every sample that's been used. But
I'm sure you have once. Drunk down the pub.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about every sample.
I've got to say,
I have to
put my hands up to that. I'm rubbish at spotting samples. Absolutely hopeless. Never been a good one for that. I've got friends who can tell you every...
There's nothing to be ashamed of, let's face it.
No, well, that's true. But so anyways, I'll give you a drop of this. This is Sun Seals and track alone. I mean, the title just promises so much. Your love is like a cancer. So check this out. We'll be right back.
councilwoman, Lord, eating away my life. You love me just like a councilwoman, Lord, eating away my life. But if you love me, you kill me, woman.
So, Sun Seals, there you go. Your Love Is Like a Cancer on Alligator Records.
I love that. I absolutely love that. I love everything about it, the performance, the recording, the title.
It's just everything about it. It's great.
What a rotten title. It's just like a rotten bit of blues and a bit of rotten production. It's almost like a garage band style.
Yeah, but it's, you know, reluctantly rolling out the use of the word mojo again, but it's, you know.
I think that's what actually puts me off a lot of blues in the production, that, you know, it is musically, it's based a lot on the mojo,
yeah,
as you say. I'm sorry, I won't do that again.
Yeah, I was gonna say, please don't do that.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know, all these people that they are technically amazing musicians, but it's all about feel, really. If you don't have the feel, you're lost.
Yeah.
And that shines through, and you can hear that on the drums. Obviously, you weren't the tightest of drums in the world, and some of those feels were sketchy as hell, but still we held it together. But it was all there, and it was a beautiful track. And the production kept that perfectly. They just didn't mess with it at all. I think the trouble with a lot of blues is I hear it
And it doesn't matter how raw the performance is and how much mojo, as it were, is in there. Mm. It's lost because you've got this kind of clinical producer that just goes, right, we're going to go for some very like basic...
clean sound. Yeah. And no, I know what you mean. I mean, that's my issue with a lot of the Buddy Guy stuff. The more recent things, like he did an amazing album that was like acoustic, just him and a guitar, and it was great. But it is so well produced that it loses that kind of inherently dirty, funky kind of vibe to it. Yeah. And you almost want it to sound a bit more rubbish because it gives it a bit more grit and vitality.
I think we're in danger of another 20-minute rant about why my Marlin bass is the best thing in the world now. But
okay, well, look, I'll cut short then. I'm going to play another track, which is another old one from me, because it kind of dovetails neatly in, I think. And this track, the band is Cactus. Do you know Cactus?
I know the name.
They're a 70s rock band who were two of the members of Vanilla Fudge.
Right, yeah. The...
And Carmine Appice, I think it's pronounced, the drummer. Two of the guys from Vanilla Fudge, whose stuff was great. They were kind of your, you know, dyed-in-the-wool, wavy-haired, hipster-wearing 70s rockers, you know, liked a moustache and just played it straight down the line.
So they're just like you.
Yeah, you know, apart from the hair, the moustache, and the trousers. they got this track called Evil, which I actually first heard on a 7-inch by Monster Magnet, you know, the stoner-type metal band, whom I love. I have to be an unashamedly massive fan of them. But they did this version of it, and I think it's not Cactus that did the original either. I think it's Chester Burnett, who is... AKA something like Howling Wolf, I think.
Yeah. I'm not that up on it, but I know.
It's a blues track, basically. But these guys did the version that now everyone, you know, like Monster Magnet, basically their version is the sound like of the Cactus one.
Right.
It's one of those. So now the cover has been forever changed. But the track is just so, just, it's great. It's just like this full on catchy number, and you can't help but love it. But it's your full on tight jeans, rock and roll 70s kind of thing, and there's no steering around it. But give it a listen, see what you make of this. Hang on, check this out.
From home, can't sleep at all, feels like I'm new.
Verdict?
That's full on rock and roll excess, isn't it? That's just from a time where people breathed cocaine. And,
exactly. And sexual diseases were nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah. And it was just, you know, you just got a Learjet and crashed it, and that was what you did.
It's just great. I mean, I'd like to say that Cactus, like the rest of their stuff, matches it. But I think, frankly, very little matches that track.
It'd be hard to match that.
Anywhere. I mean, it's just such a perfect distillation of, like, riff and attitude and catchiness.
Yeah.
I just love it. I absolutely love it.
It's pretty much the antithesis of the blues.
Is it?
Yeah.
Why?
Because, like you said, the original is probably a guy and his guitar sitting there singing that, getting, you know, going through the motions. He's got a few issues and he's getting them out.
Maybe.
They've got no issues. They're on a Learjet to hell. They're just... That's a big song by a band that wasted a lot of money, I'm sure.
Yeah, quite probably. And the fact that Cactus, I mean, if we're truthful, kind of sunk without trace. I mean, yeah. Maybe back in the day, I mean, they did do, like, I think, 4 albums, 5 albums. So, you know, they obviously weren't that rubbish. But... Yeah. But no, I mean, they're just, it's just some more of that. You know, if you just scratch beneath the surface, there are some amazing tracks in, like, 70s rock pantheon, you know, just slightly hidden from view because the names didn't quite break through.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that the tracks weren't there. And I think that's a sterling example, just, you know, doesn't get any more kind of, yeah, I just love it. It's like I was saying, even the fact that it just ends. None of that fade-out rubbish. Bang, finished.
I was actually thinking about that earlier because I do like a fade out. I was thinking because the King Curtis one fades out pretty quickly. It's almost kind of like, oh shit, you know, we've actually, I don't know if I'm allowed to curse, but
too late now.
Good God, good golly. Yeah, it's almost like, well, we've got to fit this on a 7 quick fade it.
Yeah,
and then I've got another record knocking around somewhere called Tutankhamun. The fade seems to go on forever.
Right.
I was having to listen to Cole Lampin, you know, Flavor Flav on the Takes a Nation of Millions.
Yeah, yeah.
And they fade him out mid-verse, which I just think is amazing. And he actually finishes before the fade-out finishes, but it's just like, well, why don't you just leave him in? Because you can still hear him. It's not like you're going, oh, you know, he's just going off on one now.
Well,
like,
you
spent the whole tune just talking about, somehow fitting in the word flavour and talking about what he's having for dinner.
Yeah, but you know, it's probably back in the day, he says, trying not to sound very nostalgic. You know, it's probably one of those joyful just errors.
Yeah.
When they were doing it, it was like, oh, well, can't do much about it now.
I'm sure letting him in the group in the first place was a joyful error, you know, in some ways.
Yeah, I'm sure it was, you know, but the one we've all loved ever since. But but anyway, so there you go. That was Cactus, Evil. And as I was saying to Tom when it was playing, Monster Magnet did a cover that possibly beats that version for being just as full on. I think actually, going back to this thing about the dead stop finish on a song, I think that track, it's just because it's so kind of up in your face. It's just one of those tracks, just comes in, it's just like bang, 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 you know, and then just done.
But there's loads going on in it. I actually would have thought of all tracks that would be one to fade.
No. You know? Get in, do the job, get out. Job done. Great. Love it. So there you go, Cactus, Evil. Right, come on then, what are we having up the next one? We've got one from you. So
I don't think you're going to like this.
Great start.
This dropped through the door yesterday, I think.
Okay.
It's by Hot New Act. I think they're pronounced Bonje de Roye, or Role, or Bonde du Role.
I always read it as just like Bonde de Role.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, I think it's... someone told me who... seemed to speak the language or could have just been lying and saying anything to me in any language, probably just talking
in Brazilian
tongues.
Descent,
yeah.
So I took him at his word.
He was a bit foreign looking anyway, so I believed him. No, pretty sure it's pronounced Bonje de Roye,
right,
but I'm sure I'm wrong.
Okay, so
and this is actually they released as a single a little while ago. It's called Salte o Frango, which is probably pronounced wrong as well. Salte o Frango,
yeah, exactly.
Salta o Frango, and this is the Bitchy Bitchy Ya 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 remix.
I can do nothing except press play after that. Right, come on in.
A gente somos lindo, a gente somos inteligente, a gente somos crio mais foda, a gente somos delinquente. A gente somos lindo, a gente somos inteligente, a gente somos crio mais foda, a gente somos delinquente. A gente somos
Take that, Vince Clark.
Yes. That is a very synth-tastic. That's a weird song, isn't it? It's kind just, of mixed funny. It goes all over the damn
just
place.
Just a funny little promo. You know, I get so many of these things through because I play like predominantly dance floor sets.
Mm.
And, you know, the other one on there is a Ladytron remix, which is exactly what you'd expect.
Right.
You know, sort of four on the floor, electro housey with a slightly angular edge to it.
Hmm.
And the original, I don't know if you heard it, it's actually, it's on an advert. I can't remember what it's for or anything, but obviously I can never remember what adverts are for. I guess I'm like the one person they definitely just hate when thinking about marketing.
Yeah.
But it's like, unlike a lot of their stuff that has exactly the same Biley Funk beat, that song's got like a really, really raw old Miami bass drum beat on it, like down to the like dirty old hi-hats that sound a little bit out and all that sort of thing. And I actually quite like the original as in terms of like just a dumb track.
Yeah.
But that one is insane as far as having it as the first track on a promo to be played out.
It's a very, very weirdly constructed piece in every sense. I'm sort of trying to still set it in silence, trying to work out if I like it or not. I kind of do, but I'm not sure how often I'd play it. It's one of those where you're like, well, I don't dislike it, but I'm not sure I'd also actively reach to sort of like put it on as well.
Yeah, I mean, like, I literally just got it yesterday, got sent it, pulled it out, put it on, and I was just like, I don't hate this at all, which the sad fact is that's what it comes down to a lot of promos. And I listened to it a few times and I was just like, I'm really starting to like this. And I love Bon Jay, if that's how you pronounce your name right. Actually, I'm internet friends with DJ Gorky, who sort of produces their stuff,
right?
Plays with them live, and we've never actually met. We've tried to a few times, but circumstance always got in the way. But he actually got in contact with me when I think he got the Mixmag CD that I did for their cover last year, and then we became friends
in the loosest possible
terms on MySpace, and he actually said, oh, I've got your CD here, I love it, and you know, we kept in contact since, and he's like top boy, and I was really stoked when I heard they got signed to Domino. I was just like, yeah, wicked.
Because
I've been playing them out since their
Domino do good things, don't they?
Yeah,
definitely a good label
and
at the moment.
Yeah, let's hope that they don't just remain sort of, you know, this summer's flash in the pan. I hope there, you know, there's some longevity in it.
Well,
because it's a tough old industry,
tough old game at the moment.
They're lovely folk.
Yes. Okay. Well, let's move on to. Well, it's another one from me, and I think on the grounds that we've got about 4 minutes left, I'm not going to play Colour Climax. I'm going to play my Robots in Disguise remix. Yeah. Which I feel slightly ill at ease doing, I've got to be honest.
I don't feel ill at ease. I love it. And I think more people should hear it. And
well, hopefully
now
people
told
will
me it's coming
in
time.
Out. Yeah, I mean, basically the sort of short version of this tale is that did the remix for them, and then they didn't know if the single was coming out at all. And then when it was, they weren't sure it was going to be on there. And then I think, without wishing to sound too self-aggrandizing, in the interim period, I think they kind of, or maybe other people, outlined that maybe it was a better remix than they'd given it credit for. And consequently now I think it's, you know, it's going to be on all formats of the release, and there's going to be an extended version as well, which will be on the front page of iTunes when the thing comes out, which will be exclusively on iTunes.
It's which nice is to the, be exclusive.
Yeah, you know, well, I think it's part of the thing, isn't it? It's like, well, if iTunes will cover us, we'll give them a bit of love back.
Yeah,
so
sure.
They gave them the 7-minute rendering of this that I did. But for now, we'll stick with the normal one. So this is the new single from Robots in Disguise. It's going to come out in October. It's called The Sex Has Made Me Stupid. And this is my dub of it, I guess, which really is a kind of dub rendering of it in some respects. But I guess in others kind of is similar to your one of Heartfire.
Yeah,
just,
I think it bookends the show perfectly.
Yeah, kind of takes it back to more of the slow-mo dub style. So, anyways.
I've been playing out.
Well, let's see what people make of it. I'm curious to find out, you know. It's always nice to hear back. So take a listen, see what you think. So this is, Robots in Disguise, Dub Has Made Me Stupid. So there you go. That was me remixing Robots
That's
in Disguise.
Me. I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's the Mr. Trick Dubbers Made Me Stupid remix of The Sex Has Made Me Stupid. It's out in October.
Go on,
I would
buy
love it.
It
if everyone buys it because it might mean a bit of recognition.
I'd just love it if everyone went and bought that just because I love it and you should buy it.
I'm not sure that's going to sway people to buying it, but, well, you know, if the track didn't, nothing will, I suppose, so there you go. But anyways, right, we have to go. We're running over time, so we should say goodbye.
Cheerio, see
and,
you next month.
Yeah, see you, well, in my case, probably next week, because I think, side note, the Wax Factor's probably had his baby by now, in which case he will be on paternity leave, and I'll be flying Rhythm Inc. solo.
Oh,
so
nice.
Keep your ears out for much surprises in the coming 4 weeks as I try and wing together shows.
He's a productive lad, that Pete, isn't he?
He is. There was a comment I was going to make then, but we'll just leave it. Right. Okay, we'll go. I'm Mr. Chick. You've been here with me and Wrong Tom, and we'll see you in a month in both our cases and next week in mine. We're out of here. Peace.
Ta-ra.